Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The draft is a week away, Chris, and a couple of things here that we can go over. The first one is Bob McGinn, who is one of these guys that was writing about the draft when
no one was going to the draft.
The Steelers were choosing between Jim Brown and Len Dawson back in the day. Like, he has been writing about the draft forever, and his claim to fame every year is that he writes this column that gets widely read and widely dispersed. The quotes from it end up on all the shows every year and
yes.
For years. And so he gets off the record comments from scouts on these players. And usually this is where the scouts go to say very critical, mean things about the players in the draft. They go to this Bob McGinn.
It's their safe space to sound off.
So this is what they're saying about two of the guys that are, frankly, I would say, at the moment, the two leading candidates to be the Steelers' number one pick, Amarius Mims and Graham Barton.
I'm ready.
On Mims, anonymous scout, the guy has a chance to be the biggest bust in this draft. That is the quote on Mims. Maybe the biggest bust in this draft. He may be the biggest bust. He's so effing talented, but there are so many questions. He's only started how many games? That scares the F out of me. It does scare me. I don't know if the F is coming out of me with it, but I have the same trepidation.
Where are the questions other than playing time? Is he a bad guy? I've not heard anything character-wise whatsoever other than Amarius Mims is a pretty serious dude who's serious about football. So the big question is, has he played enough snaps, right? It's strictly a, is he going to stay healthy, and why has he only played eight games as a starter?
Yeah, I mean, we see this in every sport. Connor Joe gets off to a hot start. Oh, he's a really good hitter, and then water finds its level. Oh, my God, Bailey Falter has put three or four good starts together. Maybe he's not horrible. Well, it's early in the season. Alex Nedeljkovic, five or six starts. He looks like they found lightning in a bottle. Peters off at the end. I mean, these are examples in Pittsburgh sports that we've lived through very recently. Even a little bit of Mason Rudolph last year,
frankly. We never got to find out if water would find its level, really. He had a bad first quarter against the Bills, and then he tried to bring them back.
True. I mean, it was not like he played an awful game.
But then again, maybe water had found its level several years ago, and that's why we didn't really care about finding it. finding out what was going to happen. Can you think of a guy, by the way, as a quick aside, who started off that way and didn't have the pedigree and just never stopped?
Brady?
No, I'm talking about Pittsburgh. Like a guy who just started off. Like Josh Harrison having the year he had in 2014 is one that comes to mind. A super utility player who just ended up in, like, what, the top 15 of the MVP voting?
I mean, Antonio Brown's pretty close to that.
That's
when
true.
When he got chances as a six-round pick his rookie year, he made big plays, especially in the playoffs.
That's true.
That year.
I feel like it's a little different with football, but yes, I get that one as an example. I'm trying to think more of baseball players, and I think that's why I say Harrison. Just never really stopped in that 2014 season.
You're making a decision, you don't have a lot to go by or go off of.
It's a massive projection. If you think the guy only played that number of snaps and that many games started, and it's more for just random reasons, injuries or whatever, he was at Georgia, so everybody around him is a five-star, then I think you pick him because you feel like you're getting a potential superstar.
The injury thing you got to figure out, is it just – is it chronic? Is it something that he's going to become known for, notorious for, where he's an injury-prone player or not? I mean, that's I don't know how to answer that right now.
Well, I think, though, with the way injuries get talked about, Pony, you have a sense of it more than you like if it is really bad. For example, when Darnell Washington got drafted, there were whispers about chronic, like, degenerative problems with his knee.
Yep.
That one knee might just never be healthy, really, and that it was going to be basically a ticking time bomb for him. I've heard no such things about Amarius Mims in injury. I haven't. It's more like he happened to be injured. If you get injured at Georgia, you might have to wait a while to get your turn again because of who's behind you on the depth chart. But nothing that indicates chronic problems about him. Nothing. So I'm not personally concerned about that aspect of it.
I'm just having a really hard time with this draft. Much harder than I did 2 years ago when I was enamored with Pickett and wanted them to make him their next quarterback. And last year, I mean, my big thing was I wanted them to find a way to get Jalen Carter. That was my project. I thought that was the move you should have made to get a guy that, because of his baggage,
was falling
down draft boards, but was arguably the best. Turned out C.J. Stroud was the best player in that draft, but looked like he was the best defensive player.
It turned out Jalen Carter wasn't even the best defensive player by the voting.
Ended up being second, but yeah. Still, I mean,
I understood the thought process at the time. He's going to fall because people are, like, seemingly obvious character issues, and then the Eagles pounce.
So I had my opinions pretty fleshed out for last year's draft. If you're telling, if just in a vacuum, or just I'm telling you they have to stay and pick somebody at 20, can't trade up, can't trade down. They have to pick someone at 20. It's obvious who you've loved Mims for months. I'm not as convinced because I struggle with the Steelers' ability to develop offensive tackles and do the coaching part of it. And there's not a prospect who I'm convinced is going to be there who I love.
So
I'm having a tough time with this year. Like,
so you would trade down then?
Well,
by the way, Mims's ankle injury was left ankle, and just because we're familiar with this, he had the Pickett tightrope surgery on it.
Okay.
So here's one thing randomly about him I like, and I'll let you get back to your point. The Brugler guide on him says he's not one of those guys who's, like, huge but awkwardly shaped, basically. Like, he doesn't carry the weight well. It's like basically the guy looks every bit like he carries the weight.
Yep.
Body fat when he got to Georgia, 25%. Body fat now, 17%. That dude didn't do a Waken 180 that I know of, but he just got his ass into shape, basically. Turned himself into a monster physically.
Yeah, and I think there's a chance that if you draft him, he's one of the great picks in the draft because the lack of playing time at Georgia, if he had more tape out there and people had seen him.
Well,
top five even,
go back
Chris.
To what Baldy said to us yesterday about how big he is and how long the wingspan is, right? It's just tough to get around a guy like that. What did he say? DeJuan Jones, he cited.
I just have such a lack of faith. And where did DeJuan Jones get picked, fourth round?
I know he was a fourth round. Oh, yeah, but didn't we have people telling us quietly off the record that, like, some people didn't even think he was, like, on the Steelers' board?
Donnie said that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
That he had a mold. On good authority that he was just such a slob and was so Seriously.
No, I know that they thought he wasn't an NFL
player. Wrong there.
No, that they thought he was not an NFL player, and he turned out that he was.
What's that tell you about their their offensive line evaluation was pretty good with Broderick Jones.
My point is, I mean, Mims, the reason I bring up how big he is that Baldy made it seem like even if you're a little bit raw at the start of your career, being that gigantic just makes you a decent pass blocker specifically because it's hard. It takes time to run around you. You sound like a guy right now, though, to go back to your original kind of thesis here, you sound and have the tenor of a guy who is just itching for a trade down in this draft. That's what I sense with you. That you would be, as a process and analytically oriented person, you'd say, I don't love enough like players in this draft that I think will be there at 20.
I might as well take more swings.
Take more swings where the depth is still solid.
Yeah.
Okay, then.
I think that feels like such a cop-out answer.
Is it, though? I mean, good teams do smart stuff like that all the time.
When was the last time the Steelers did it?
They haven't done
Casey
it in a while.
Casey Hampton?
Yeah, they haven't done it in a while. Here's another name to consider. Byron Murphy, Lance Zierlein said if he gets to – he was talking, I think, to Matt Williamson on Twitter, and they were talking about him, and Zierlein said if he gets to the Steelers at 20 and they pass on him, I will weep for the city of Pittsburgh.
And I think they will pass on him if he's there at 20.
Depends on who – like, it depends – I think the only way they wouldn't pass on him and they'd take him is if there was, you know, there was the run in Jonathan Jones of cornerbacks 1, 2, 3 in a row. If there was a crazy run on tackles, I think they would consider it. Even if the centers were all there, I think they'd at least consider it. I think tackle positionally, they would say, is much more valuable than center. And so if a lot of those guys were gone, they might take the defensive lineman.
Nothing about the way they've gone about their pre-draft prep, though, makes me think that they're...
I know.
Really looking at taking a defensive lineman with their first pick.
I mean,
it seems to be more of a day two or day three need on their list of priorities and ranking
aware.
Of players and positional need.
No, I believe me, I think that that's accurate. It would be a surprise to me if they did that. But I guess when a guy like Zierlein, who does write up these for the official league arm, you know, he's doing this at NFL.com, when he says something like that,
I know.
It sort of opens the eyes. I would cry or weep for the city. That it would be such a bad move by them to pass on.
I don't think Murphy would get. He'd play because it's a rotational position, defensive line. But who does he play over? He should play over Ogunjobi,
right?
But they gave Ogunjobi a big contract and didn't do anything to either minimize the cap number or ask him to take a pay cut. None of that went on.
You think they're
same thing with Hayward? Coming off his injury season, they're paying him over $20 million a year, and they love Benton.
Do you think their internal DNA as a franchise, where for so many years we heard them say we don't like to have to count on our, like, even our first-round pick to be a big contributor still exists somewhere, or do you think that died with Colbert leaving the franchise?
No, I think you can draft that way when you don't really have any obvious holes, but this team needs to find starters in this draft.
Multiple.
Yeah.
Probably with their first... Would you say it's fair to assess them and say they need to find starters for sure at 20 and 51 right now as their pick set stands and probably a guy who's a significant contributor at 84? I do. If 20 and 51 are like a tackle and a center in some combination and 84 is a wide receiver, the first two have to start and the third one has to be a significant player.
They only have two starting corners. They only have one starting wide receiver. They don't have a starting center, and they do have a starting left tackle, but he's terrible.
Other than that, Mrs. Lincoln.
Go back to Bob McGinn here and this write-up that gets...
What was the Barton thing
about
him?
The Barton thing is the scout he talked to said that I don't know why you'd want to put a guy that's 6'5 at center.
Too tall.
The guy's 6'5", I don't think he'd have a chance. Too big.
He can't play with leverage and get low, basically.
Not only that, how do quarterbacks see over him?
Wilson's only 5'11".
Right.
Fields is tall. He's 6'3", but yeah.
Not Big Ben back there.
What would you say is the ideal center height then, 6'2", 6'3"? A mauler in there? Basically just build Doug Legursky.
Donnie, how tall is Jason Kelsey? Look that up for
6'3",
us.
6'3", I can already tell
I'm pretty
you.
Sure he's 6'4", or 6'5".
Really? I thought they listed Jason Kelsey. Travis is 6'5". I thought they listed Jason Kelsey at 6'3", 295.
Travis is 6'5".
You.
Yeah, when I saw both of those guys at the Super Bowl, Travis is a big guy. Jason Kelsey doesn't.
I'm a little bit skeptical, Malzie, of The Rock's height because they took a picture together after WrestleMania, and Kelsey looks taller than The Rock.
So if Kelsey's, if Jason Kelsey's taller than The Rock, that means The Rock is like 6'2 and a half, which we've already shrunk Hulk Hogan down to like maybe sit like shorter than Pony here.
Donnie, you played center in college. What do you think of the scout's question or concern that he's too tall to play the position?
I don't really see that would be like a first that I've ever heard a guy being too tall to play on the offensive line. I mean, yeah, the center is normally like the guys in the middle, just naturally the shorter guys. But we also have never really seen like a 6'8 center or anything like that. Like sometimes we see absolute monstrous humans that are out on the outside of the offensive line. You never really see that in the middle. Like all of those guys just end up being basically between 6'2 and 6'5.
I mean, I'm also
who are the 6'5 centers in the league? Are there any?
Pouncey was tall at 6'4.
I don't have anybody pulled up, but yeah, like I know Pouncey was on the taller end.
Ramon was a monstrous human being playing left guard. He was sick every bit of 6'7.
Mm-hmm.
And Ramon's not a, like I said, he's not a cheap 6'7 where it's like a program listing.
That's why this scout is saying he should play guard. Barton should be a guard. Which is a position he's never played before.
I was just going to say, you're drafting a guy and you want to talk about like coaching worries, Pony.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!